Chapter 9. And Our Work Is Never Done. CPS. There's a new Robin. Help me kill Batman? Red Hood. Bet. Nightwing. Ha 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 ha! You guys are so funny. Also Nightwing. Frantically typing in the group chat. Who forgot to tell Theo about the new Robin? Mr. Vitalis, Alfred Pennyworth says, swinging open a front door that's tall enough to admit three Banes stacked in a trench coat if they ducked a little bit. A pleasure to see you as always. Theo sets his shoulders and steps across the threshold like he's going to war. Google Maps says I've been to Wayne Manor enough in the past month that I should consider setting it as one of my favorites. That must be quite distressing for you, Alfred says sympathetically. Billionaires should not exist, Alfred. Billionaires are a sign that society and the free market have failed. Billionaires... Theo, I thought I heard your dulcet tones, Dick Grayson interrupts, surfing down the staircase banister in his socks. He dismounts with a double front somersault and slings an arm around Alfred's shoulders, beaming at Theo. How's the Nguyen case working out? Gravity is not supposed to be optional, Theo says, blinking away visions of Dick falling two stories and cracking his skull open on the marble floor. I swear, you're worse than Nightwing. Nightwing, love that guy, Dick says. The two of you doing okay? I heard you got into a bit of a disagreement a few weeks back. Theo winces. He talked to you about that? Dick makes a wavy hand gesture, extending the motion to loop his arm through Theo's and start herding him down the hall. Good guys in the same city gotta stick together. I can handle it from here, Alf. Thanks. I am ever confident in your hosting abilities, Alfred says dryly, then disappears to do whatever it is butlers do during the day. Alphabetize the signed first editions in the library, detail one of Bruce's many wildly pricey cars, install a handy color-coded strip of lights along the wall to help visitors with wayfinding? Anyway, you and Nightwing? Dick prompts. He said that you guys have talked and that everything's fine, but have you really forgiven him? It sounds like he might have overreacted and scared you a bit. Theo carefully extracts his arm. No offense, Detective Grayson, but I'm not going to talk to you about my friendship with Nightwing. He's a vigilante, you are a cop. Tim says you've been a decent pseudo-brother since the custody arrangement was settled, so I don't think you'd do anything to hurt one of Tim's other siblings, but that's not a chance I'm willing to take. Dick frowns. Tim called me his pseudo-brother? Theo frowns back at him and nearly walks into a frankly hideous sculpture, only avoiding collision and what he presumes would be several $100,000 worth of damage when Dick snags his elbow and tugs him out of the way. It's only been 3.5 weeks. You both need some time to adjust. Plus, you live in a different city, which... Wait, what are you doing here? I'm supposed to be meeting Bruce, not you. And shouldn't you be at work? I took a few days off, Dick says, nudging Theo towards a familiar door. It's the study. The same room Theo, Dick, Bruce, and Tim were all holed up in during Riddler's takeover of the Wayne Charity Gala. Had a bit of a family situation come up, and I wanted to be around while we're figuring it out. That's why you are here, actually. I'm here to talk to Bruce about Phase 2 of the Gotham Public School Support System, Theo says. The study's door is open, so he walks in and heads for the desk that he normally takes over during these meetings. Bruce, looking out a window and backlit by the midday sun, doesn't look over right away. He's probably finishing up a phone call. He's also wearing jeans and a hoodie, which is more dressed down than Theo's ever seen Bruce Wayne by a factor of a million. But hey, this is the guy's home. "You are really not," Theo says. "I'm really not what?" Theo asks, distracted by connecting his tablet to Wayne Manor guest. There's a Wayne Manor family Wi-Fi network available too, but Theo doesn't know that password. Theo's phone also now picks up B-Sub Network A783C1. Ever since Tim stole Theo's phone and fiddled with it on a recent visit, Theo can't actually sign into that network unless someone with a previously authenticated device grants him access. But Tim had set him up anyway, just in case. "Just in case of what?" Theo had asked. "You know," Tim had said, "in case." Purposeful obfuscation is not a good look on you. "Obfuscation? Theo, I'm only 16. You've got to use words I know." "I can think of a lot of words you know that are only four letters," Theo had offered blithely. "Should I try those instead?" "You're not here to talk to B about school funding," says the man at the window as he turns around. It's not Bruce Wayne. Theo doesn't think he can be blamed for the mistake. Even as his brain performs multiple record scratches, he can see how he made the assumption. The man is roughly Bruce's build and holds himself with that same awareness of exactly how much space his body takes up that Bruce lets slip when his guard is down. He's got the same dark hair, though there's something weird happening in the roots above the guy's forehead. With only a casual glance from behind and the expectation that you're meeting Bruce Wayne, this guy'd pass as Bruce Wayne. It's not Bruce Wayne. "You're not activating alarms or opening secret tunnels," Theo says, turning his head to Dick. "So, is this... do we know him?" "It is extremely complicated," Dick says. "It's not that complicated," the guy says. He walks towards Theo and holds out his hand. "I'm Jason Todd, and I'd like your help coming back from the dead." Theo shakes his hand and says, "I'm not allowed to practice necromancy. It's against office policy." "Is there actually a rule specifically banning necromancy at Gotham CPS?" Dick asks, sounding genuinely curious. "Is that a thing that's happened before, if you have a rule against it?" "Not since Michelle's been in charge," Theo says. He's still shaking Jason's, holy fuck, Jason Todd, Jason's hand. He stops and scrubs his palms down his pants. You died. There was a funeral. You died. "Nah," Jason says, nonchalant. Theo looks at Dick again. "Am I having a stroke? I feel like I might be having a stroke." "Jay was being threatened by some of Bruce's enemies," Dick explains. He's still standing in the doorway, leaning against the frame. Every few seconds, he tilts back into the hallway and looks for something. "The only way we could keep him safe was to act like he was dead." "For 4 years?" "It got a little out of hand," Dick admits. Jason huffs out a laugh and throws himself into an armchair. "Very dramatic, Dickie. What he means, Theo, is that I went off the rails for a while and needed some time to reacclimate to polite society." "Sure," Theo says. "Because what the fuck else is he supposed to say? Jason Todd is standing in front of him, alive. Jason Todd's death was maybe the most well-publicized in Gotham's recent memory, besides Robin 2's, and apparently the whole thing was a farce." Jason Todd was from Crime Alley. The story of his adoption and elevation out of the gutter was near mythological when Theo was younger. Jason Todd was the dream and the hope of every kid trapped in Gotham's underbelly. And when he died, well, that was the lesson, wasn't it? Don't dream, don't hope, accept the hand you've been dealt. "I can't help you," Theo blurts, because his slow-building anger is already starting to get the better of him. He buries it as best he can, tries to force himself to a more logical thought process. I'm not a lawyer or I don't know who you'd need for this, but it's not me. You're getting a bit of a reputation for being the guy to go to when someone needs to work in Gotham's gray areas, Dick says. So maybe you know someone who can help? I wouldn't even know where to start, Theo says honestly. Word on the street, Jason repeats, snorting. Is that your friends with Matt Murdock down in Hell's Kitchen? Dick finishes, flicking Jason off. He's handled atypical situations like this before, and what the two of you did for that spider kid. Are we really pretending you don't know his name is Spider-Man? Jason drawls. Or that you're not a huge fanboy? I will put you back in your grave in a heartbeat, baby brother, Dick says sweetly. Any fucking time, dickhead, Jason retorts, just as saccharine. Something shifts in his weight distribution across the armchair that makes the hairs on Theo's arms stand up. I think your acclimation to polite society could use some workshopping, Theo says, and possibly a PR person, or a full crisis management team. Oh, really? Jason says, kicking back and setting his heels on the desk. His vowels are the type of flat that sound like home. Because I figured I'd just invite Vicky Vale to lunch and see what happens. I feel obligated to inform you that sarcasm is not going to endear you to me at this juncture, Theo says. How long have you been back? A while, Jason says. Not very long, Dick says at the same time. The two share a look, then chorus, A medium amount of time. Theo groans and thunks his forehead against the desk a couple of times. If you're gonna lie to me, can you at least try to be better at it? I'm accustomed to a certain degree of plausible self-deception that you are currently making really difficult to maintain. Incoming, Dick warns suddenly, darting into the room and taking up a post near Jason's shoulder. Jason drops his boots to the carpet with a thud. Theo reflexively sits up straighter. Bruce Wayne sweeps into the room in his normal three-piece suit and looks around at their trio before heaving a sigh. Boys, we agreed not to tell Theo about Jason until I was here. You were late, Jason says. Also, you are not the boss of me. Super mature, Dick says, flashing Jason a double thumbs up. Very adult. Please help, Theo says to Bruce. I've learned that it's best to let them work out most conflicts among themselves, Bruce says. Theo frowns at him. That's some bullshit parenting right there. They're grown-ups, Bruce says defensively. They are literally one sentence away from ripping each other's heads off over what I assume is a ridiculously expensive carpet, Theo retorts. I know where all your bodies are buried, Dick is saying to Jason. Jason's grin reminds Theo of how a wolf might smile before he sinks his teeth into your soft underbelly. I've buried your bodies for you. When does Tim get home from school? Theo asks. I need someone sane to supervise the rest of this conversation. Tim does not get back to Wayne Manor in time to prevent Theo from promising to connect Jason Todd with Matt Murdock, or to looking into the legal proceedings necessary to get someone undeclared dead. Declared undead? Whatever. Dick passes Theo Barbara Gordon's contact information at one point. Theo does not want to explain that he already has Barbara's contact information, or that he doesn't see how talking to the head of the Gotham Public Library will be helpful, or that he's hoping this whole day has been a fever dream, so he accepts the contact transfer and shuts up. When he finally gets back to his desk, there's a 9-year-old child waiting for him. Normally, not a big deal. Theo's work life is full of children running around with minimal supervision. The kid from the Nguyen case Hoa, is close to 9. Tomas Klotschner, 2. Theo's desk has been the site of countless tea parties, epic dinosaur figurine battles, and a model UN conference reenactment in which Sophia, Samish, and Nadia all got drafted to play delegates from Eastern Europe and promptly launched a hostile takeover. Theo can handle elementary school recess drama, middle school lunchroom drama, and high school friend group drama without breaking a sweat. What Theo cannot handle is a 9-year-old child in seasonally inappropriate sandals, standing up, giving him a formal, extremely precise bow from the waist, and sounding reminiscent of the British aristocracy when he says, "Theo Vitalis of Gotham, my name is Damian. I wish to secure your services in uniting with my biological father, Bruce Wayne." Theo does not sigh or swear, because he is a professional. Instead, he turns to Nadia and says, "You were just going to let him sit here all afternoon?" Nadia has wide eyes and is holding a bingo card with the "Theo gets himself involved in some absurdly unbelievable shit, re the Waynes, Graysons, Drakes" square daubed out in still wet blue paint. She says, calmly, "He wanted to wait for you. Asked for you by name." Theo pinches the bridge of his nose. "Why do you know my name, Damian?" Damian produces a business card. It's ragged and green-stained around the edges. Theo's name and contact information are on the front, and in narrow handwriting on the back is Ivy's personal cell phone number, which Theo recognizes from recent book club text threads. Theo tries to snatch the card away, but Damian flicks it out of sight and into one of the many folds of his robes. Because he's wearing robes. It's more of a tunic and loose pants situation, Theo supposes. But there's a looped around part over his shoulder that gives the whole ensemble a very desert nomad vibe. "You come highly recommended," Damian says. He gives Theo a rather invasive head-to-toe appraisal. "Upon meeting you, however, I find myself growing skeptical of our mutual acquaintance's judgment." There's a flurry of motion at Nadia's desk, and she holds up the bingo card again, which now has "Theo receives a vicious burn from a literal child" marked off. Theo glares at her. "You were the worst, you know that?" Red Hood said that whoever wins office bingo gets to join the sword fighting lessons he's giving to the best pride parade float people for free, Nadia says. "You can't expect me to pass that up." Damian gives a little ahem. "You know the Red Hood." "Theo knows all of Gotham's capes," Nadia says. "Hood, Nightwing, Robin." "Robin," Damian cuts in. His eyes, a vivid green, lock onto Theo with surprising intensity. "Tell me everything you know of Robin." "No," Theo says bluntly, and groans as he pulls out his cell phone. "I just got off the phone with Commissioner Gordon about a long-lost Wayne kid. Now I have to call him back about another one? He's going to kill me." "As you are assisting me, I will defend you from this Commissioner Gordon so that he does not interfere with our quest," Damian says seriously. "Take me to the Red Hood so that he may provision me with a sword." "Absolutely not," Theo says. "It is understandable that you doubt my proficiency with a bladed weapon, as American children are hopelessly soft and coddled," Damian says. "I am certain that a brief demonstration of my skills will correct your estimation of my skill." "Your competency is not the part I have a problem with," Theo says. He pauses, rethinks, and amends. "Wait. Wait, no. Actually, I don't like that either." "I assure you, I am exceptionally well-trained," Damian says placatingly. Theo is decidedly not placated. "By who? You're like 8 years old." "I am 9 1/3, Damian says, scowling. "Mother assures me that I will grow into my father's height." "I hate today," Theo says, directing it to Nadia, or the ceiling, or the universe. "I hate today so very much." The ceiling and the universe don't respond. Nadia gleefully daubs paint on the Theo has an existential crisis bingo square and says, "You're making this way too easy." "Twice in one day, Mr. Vitalis," Alfred says. "Whatever will your electronics have to say about this?" Getting subtly, politely dragged by the Wayne family butler, Theo would like to reiterate that he hates this day. "I'm getting targeted ads for buying a helicopter." "A helicopter, Alfred," Damien says. "Private air travel is detrimental to the environment." "My carbon footprint is not the deciding factor in whether or not I purchase a helicopter." The concept of personal carbon footprint was created as part of a public relations campaign by BP to distract from the fact that the overwhelming majority of carbon emissions come from oil and manufacturing industries. "You're not allowed to hang out with poison ivy anymore," Theo says. "Alfred, this is Damien. I'm sorry, I know it's late, but is Bruce home?" Alfred doesn't miss a beat, just moves smoothly out of the way so they can enter. Master Bruce and the young masters have just sat down to dinner. You may join them in the dining room. "I should have called," Theo says, stepping in front of Damien a bit to block him when he suddenly realizes how insane this is. Jim Gordon and Michelle both said it was fine for Theo to bring Damien over, but this is going to upend Bruce's life, and Tim's, and Dick's, and Jason's. And Theo has no proof that Damien is actually Bruce's kid. And if Damien is Bruce's, he deserves better than some impromptu introduction at the place he might call home one day. What was Theo thinking? "We're interrupting. I'm so sorry. We can come back later. I'll set up an appointment." Scuffling and grumbling echoes down the hall, cutting off Theo's babbling. A familiar voice calls, "Who is at the door, Alfie?" And another voice adds, "And do they want to help us eat the 18 tons of food you made?" "Forgive me for being enthusiastic about having you all under one roof," Alfred says primly, right before a pile of assorted limbs fall through the door to the hallway. "Theo!" Dick chirps, wiggling his head through someone's armpit. "What are you doing back here?" "Got an idea on how to resurrect me already?" Jason asks. "Did you get Steph's text about zucchini bread?" Tim says as he shoves a stray forearm out of his face. "I need you to be on my side for this, Theo." Bruce follows at a more sedate pace, chuckling at his son's antics. "Let's give him a chance to breathe, boys." "Fine, fine," Jason says, palming Dick's forehead to push himself up to standing. "Theo, good to see you again. Hey, who's the pipsqueak?" Theo tries. "Good evening," Damien interrupts, dodging around Theo's legs and offering two formal bows, a shallower one directed to the teenagers, and a deep one to Bruce that he holds for several seconds. While saying, "I am Damien Wayne, your biological son. I am known colloquially as Ibn al-Jufash. Talia says hello." "What?" Bruce says. "New little brother!" Dick cheers. "Talia," Jason says, eyes flashing on a look at Bruce. "Talia? Really?" Theo blinks. "You know his birth mom?" "Do the math, Jay," Tim sighs, totally ignoring Theo. "It was obviously way before you, she, it was before." "I don't care about the timeline," Jason says, exasperated. "I care about the multiple mortifying father-son talks B tried to have with me about safe sex. Only now I find out he's been sticking his unwrapped dick." Dick flings himself onto Jason's back and wraps his limbs around Jason's head. All of them. All four limbs. Somehow crisscross over Jason's face. And Jason somehow doesn't fall over backwards. He just lets out an annoyed and muffled groan and chucks his body weight forward to toss Dick to the carpet. Not in front of the kids, Dick says with an upside-down grin, not sounding winded in the slightest. I am not a child, Damien snaps. Yeah, no, I totally didn't mean you, Dick says, rolling to his feet with an entirely unnecessary backward somersault. I meant, Tim. Tim is the child I was referring to. Damien's sharp eyes flick to Tim and narrow. You are Timothy Drake. Hi, Tim says uncertainly. Theo holds his breath. They practiced for this on the car ride over. Damien had some weird ideas about Bruce's other children, but Theo's got years of experience coaching kids through intricacies of adoptive, fostered, and guardian relationships. I admit that I am lacking in personal experience with brotherhood, Damien says slowly, and I have not yet had a chance to thoroughly assess your strengths and weaknesses. You are, however, one of my father's chosen sons, and therefore you have been afforded a place of respect. It is my understanding that further companionship between us may lead to a mutually beneficial outcome. What the fuck? Jason says. Where did you find this kid, Theo? The London Ton? I said it right, Damien insists, not quite stomping his foot, but coming pretty close. He looks to Theo, anger and desperation and a creeping fear that he's about to get rejected by people who should be his family on his tiny face. I said it like how you said. You did great, Theo soothes. So great, Tim blurts in hasty agreement. I just wasn't expecting. It's not important. Don't mind Jason. He's just prickly because he's going to have to share his big dramatic homecoming now. Jason Todd, Damien says, tilting his chin back to look Jason in the eye. The top of his head is maybe level with Jason's lower ribs, and that's only because the kid's hair is spiky. My mother has spoken of you. Oh, has she? Jason says. There's something dark in his tone. And what, exactly, does Mommy Dearest have to say about me? Don't answer that, Dick says to Damien, then pivots around to face Jason. Jay, let's take a walk. I don't want to take a walk, Jason says. I want to know what sort of horseshit I'll go... Enough, Bruce intones, and it's a total sea change. Every mouth snaps shut, every head swivels. Bruce waits for perfect silence before fixing Theo with a stare that sets his hair on end. Has this been verified? Sure, I ran his DNA back at the CPS office, Theo says, deadpan. Then, no, obviously not. This all happened in the last 90 minutes, but, I mean, look at him. The lad is the spitting image of you at that age, sir, Alfred says. Tim squints. Hard to believe Bruce was ever that shrimpy. I am a youth who has not yet begun puberty, Damien retorts snippily. What, pray tell, is your excuse? Dick falls all over himself laughing at Tim's shocked face. Jason grins and claps Bruce on the shoulder, saying, I like this one. He can stay. What happened to a place of respect? Tim splutters. And further companionship and alliances can be fickle, Damien says archly. Family is not an alliance, Theo chides. But, like, kind of it is, Jason says. Back me up on this, Bruce. No, Bruce says simply. His eyes haven't left Damien once. Family is not an alliance, or fickle, or... Okay, everyone should come in, or stay, or sit down. If I may, Alfred offers. Dinner is on the table, and I did prepare rather too much. Would you care to join the family for a meal, Mr. Vitalis, young Master Damien? I am vegetarian, Damien volunteers. How fortunate, Alfred says. Master Jason acquired quite the taste for vegetarian food during his time abroad and requested saag paneer for tonight's meal. Would that be acceptable? Entirely, Damien says, looking delighted. He offers Bruce another bow, then trails Alfred down the hall while the two strike up a conversation about spices. Dick, Jason, and Tim follow, tussling and using the noise to cover up their whispered conversation. Theo hangs back in the entryway with Bruce, who's still looking slightly stunned. After several long seconds pass without Bruce saying anything, Theo prompts, "So, congratulations, it's a boy?" Bruce turns to Theo, the shocked expression giving way to devastation. "I didn't know. I had no idea he existed. She didn't tell me. How?" "It happens more often than you might think," Theo says, pulling a folder out of his work bag and handing it over. "His mom sent him with all the right paperwork, at least. Here, his birth certificate, termination of her parental rights, transfer of custody to you. I'm 90% sure most of it's falsified, but they're good enough forgeries that they'll hold up in court. She did include a copy of a paternity test, actually, but I'm guessing you'll run your own." Bruce flips through the documents. You'll help with this, right?" "Once again, I am not a lawyer," Theo sighs. "But yes, I'll help." Jason Todd is a riot. It turns out that he grew up five streets over from where Theo lived as a kid, and a few years of the hoity-toity life, plus a few years in hiding, isn't enough to change the building blocks of a crime alley childhood. He's blunt and brash and has quick-fire emotions. He treats anything new like a threat, and he eliminates threats with extreme prejudice. He's loud and smart and dangerous and a shit ton of fun. He is also, 3 weeks after their first meeting, comfortable enough to be a massive pain in Theo's ass. "Theo, come on," he whines, following Theo and Max around after crashing their date. It's late September and finally not oppressively hot in the evening, so Theo planned this whole outing around a walking tour of the art installation at Lemmer's Park. It'd been going great. Max asked highly pointed questions about security measures in place around this one painting they saw. The tour guide got visibly uncomfortable. It was hilarious / alarming. Until Jason freaking Todd showed up. "Please, please, please." Theo throws a strawberry at him. They're on the was supposed to be a romantic picnic portion of the date. "You can't move into my apartment." "You have an empty room," Jason protests, catching the strawberry in his mouth with apparent ease. "Why does everyone Theo know have such good hand-eye coordination? Give me one actual good reason why I can't move in." "You already live at Wayne Manor." "Bruce and I cannot cohabitate. It's a miracle neither of us have murdered the other yet." "That building is bigger than my apartment building," Theo says. "Live in a different wing." "I'd still have to eat dinner with him." "Next." "Tim and Damien live at Wayne Manor. You should spend time with your brothers." "Tim and Damien," Jason says, shifting to his hands and knees to lean across the blanket. "Tim and Damien, Theo, are terrors. They are friends. They are teaching each other things. You do not realize the severity of what you have done by convincing them that they're on the same team, instead of letting normal sibling rivalry run its course. And now Steph and Cass are in on it. I need to get out of there for my own safety." Max calmly plants a hand on Jason's face when he gets too close and shoves him back. To recap, you're afraid of three teenagers and a fourth grader, who, when all of them are combined, barely weigh as much as you. "Yes," Jason hisses. "The four of them are going to take over the world, and I shouldn't have to listen to them plot their machinations in the living room." "Machinations," Theo says. "Machinations," Jason confirms. next reason why I can't live with you? You only came back to life a few days ago. The press are following you around everywhere. I don't want or need that kind of attention. Jason spreads his arms wide. Do you see the press here? No, because I am a master of disguise. You are wearing a baseball hat, Max points out. The press are stupid, Jason says. You can't hold that against me. Next. How would you even pay rent? Theo exclaims. I refuse to have the rent for my apartment even partially covered by Bruce Wayne's ridiculous piles of money. Jason helps himself to a handful of crackers. He drops a big glob of brie into the middle and mashes the crackers around in it, then stuffs the whole thing in his mouth. So I'll get a job. Where? Doing what? I don't know, Jason says, turning to Max. Is Red Hood hiring? Max delicately brushes cracker bits off their face. Maybe. You got references? He's been legally dead for 4 years. No, he doesn't have references, Theo says. I doubt Red Hood's gonna care about my past work history, Jason scoffs. The heads of our union sure do, Max says. Theo perks up. How are Aldona and Carrie? Any news? Embryo implantation in a few weeks, Max says. They're hopeful. That's great for them, whoever they are, Jason says. And what's great for me is that I still haven't heard a single valid reason why I can't move into your apartment. You're basically an embryo yourself. How about that? Theo says. You were 20. The next youngest person in the apartment is Riel, and she's barely tolerable at 24. Jason waves a dismissive hand. I'm an old soul, and once I start working for Red Hood, I'll have all sorts of interesting life experiences to share. You're not going to work for Red Hood, Theo says. You're not even going to meet Hood. You think it's bad that Tim and Damian are getting along? You and Red Hood together would burn Gotham to the ground in an hour, tops. Plus, Commissioner Gordon's already on my ass about Red Hood's other new friend, and that one's not even my fault. Oh? Jason asks innocently, pouring himself a glass of wine. Max swipes the glass from him, and when Jason sticks his tongue out, flicks him in the middle of the forehead. Red Hood and Daredevil were seen palling around New York together a few times earlier this month, Theo explains. There were explosions involved. Gordon got a call from the NYPD commissioner about it, and now Gordon's got it in his head that I'm the one who introduced them. So he showed up at my work all, "Was it you, Vitalis? I'm not mad, I just want to have a chat." And I swear to you, my whole life flashed before my eyes. Well, was it you? No, I met Daredevil all of once, and that was mostly an accident and also Nightwing's fault. I don't go around networking for vigilantes on my day off. I am not a BFF locator service for capes and crime lords. Except the part where you totally are. Could you be on my side for, like, once? Theo asks. Just for a change of pace. Try it on, see how it feels. As my partner, as the love of my life. Whoa, Max says, eyes wide. I'm the love of your life? Theo chokes on a grape. I mean, it was a... I didn't... Yes, he finishes awkwardly. He's blushing. He knows he's blushing. All up his neck and under his shirt. But he soldiers on. Some things are worth being embarrassed about and vulnerable over. Some things are worth the risk. And no less than 4 unconnected sources have told me that I'm extremely obvious about it, so I don't know why you're acting surprised. But yeah, you're it for me. You are my person. And it's okay if you don't feel the same way, but I just... Shut up, Max says, crawling over the picnic basket and perching across Theo's lap. Oh my God, shut up. I told you that this was a forever thing for me ages ago. Oh, gross, Jason complains. With the kissing and the... I'm trying to eat here, people. This is a public park. Gotham calms down a bit when the heat breaks. It's been this way for as long as Theo can remember. Summer lingers well into September, and the prolonged days of sweating while standing still drive people to distraction. But then October rolls through and the temperature dips and everyone breathes a collective sigh of relief. There's a lull in activity, both legal and otherwise, until winter's Venn diagram overlap of desperation and cabin fever sets in and stirs shit up. Theo uses the lull to wrap up some cases, attend a college friend's wedding, contemplate the future, and settle all the paperwork related to both the resurrection of Jason Todd and the adoption of Damian Wayne. He's feeling accomplished and capable and ready to tackle whatever life throws at him next. He'll laugh about it later, he thinks, as he charges across the city one cloudy October evening. Later, he'll probably find his hubris and his idiocy amusing. He survived 27 years in Gotham, sure, but the sheer arrogance of thinking that the city wasn't going to unearth some new and awful way to surprise him. He bursts into Red Hood's safe house, triple locks the door behind him, and says, "I need you to help me kill Batman." Red Hood, standing in his kitchen with flour on his domino mask and his hands deep in a mixing bowl, shrugs. "Okay." "Wait, wait, wait," says Nightwing, who is lounging across Red Hood's couch. "Why are we killing Batman?" "For the challenge, to see if we can. He was mean to Spoiler again 2 nights ago. It'll be fun. Whatever he's done to piss Theo off in the last hour. Take your pick," Hood says. He wipes his hands on his apron, produces a gun from behind said apron, and clears the chamber. "How about we let Theo answer the question that is for Theo?" Nightwing says. "Why are we killing Batman?" "He didn't invite you, Dick," Hood says. "This is my safe house. Mine. Me and Theo against the Bat. No Nightwings allowed." "I feel excluded," Nightwing says. "I feel deliberately excluded." "There's a new Robin," Theo blurts, cutting through their banter. "There's a new Robin, and that means something happened to the old Robin, so I need to kill Batman." Nightwing and Red Hood are both silent for a heavy few seconds. Then Nightwing pops his head over the back of the couch and glares at Hood. "I thought you were going to tell him." "Why would that be my responsibility?" Hood responds. "It's not my mantle. The kid should have been the one to tell him." "Is he dead?" Theo asks. He can hear how flat his voice sounds. Can't bring himself to do anything about it. Can't modulate his tone, even though these are Robin's brothers. And they either don't know or are trying to cope by pretending nothing's wrong, but he... Social workers get over-involved. It's part of the job. It's part of the personality that's drawn to the job. Some are better about setting boundaries than others, but they all get attached. And Theo knows exactly what end of the spectrum he falls on. And all the kids a CPS worker interacts with are going through something tough, so there's inherent risk there. And Theo's known for months that getting invested in these young, so fucking young, vigilantes is only going to break his heart. But it's still, is he dead? Theo makes himself ask again. Robin, the old Robin, the third Robin, is he dead? Jesus, Hood says. He lets his mixing bowl clatter into the sink and comes around into the living room hastily. Jesus, Theo, no. There's a new Robin, Theo repeats. It's all he's been able to think about since he saw the first tweet and then the news story. There's a new Robin, and Robin 3 isn't answering his phone, and... Yeah, hi, you need to get here right now, Nightwing says, face angled away like he does when he's talking into his comm unit. Oh, I don't know. Maybe because someone forgot to tell Theo about the recent addition to the lineup, and now he's having a panic attack in Hood's second favorite safe house. Not having a panic attack, Theo mumbles. My chest just feels tight, and I'm lightheaded, and also, is my heartbeat always this loud? One day, we will not horrifically fuck up a transfer of the Robin name. One day, Hood says to the room at large. And then there's a strong arm sliding around Theo's waist, and he's being gently lowered to the couch. Head between your knees, Vitalis. There you go. Just breathe. Robin 3 is fine. You promise? Theo asks, craning his chin up to try to look Hood in the eye. Hood sets a hand on the back of Theo's head and guides him back down. I promise he'll be here soon and you can see for yourself. You're sure you've actually talked to him in the last, like, hour and you're not trying to calm me down or lying to me and whoever shows up here isn't going to be some other kid entirely and you'll all just act like I'm insane for pointing it out? Yikes, Hood says. Gaslighting? You really do not have a very high opinion of us. I let it slide, Theo tells his shoes, then shoves Hood's hand away and sits up. The room stops spinning, at least, and rage is starting to displace the fear and grief. Batman wouldn't meet with me after I was an asshole to Nightwing. I let it slide. Spoiler and Robin and the new Batgirl kept going out, kept putting themselves on the line. I let it slide. I trusted you guys to keep them safe. Trusted Batman and Oracle to keep them safe. I thought they'd be safe. I thought you'd all be safe. There are more important things than being safe, Hood says. Not helping, Hood, Nightwing snaps, then bulldozes his way into Theo's space. Theo, hey, it's okay. Robin 3 is okay. But the new Robin is probably better equipped to be Robin than any of his predecessors, if we're being honest, Nightwing says, droll, and Theo's whole world grinds to a halt. You knew, he says. Oh shit, Hood says. Nightwing's eyes, blue and shining and earnest behind the domino, get very wide. Theo, listen. You knew, Theo repeats, shoving up off the couch so suddenly that Nightwing has to back off a couple quick, ungraceful steps to avoid a collision. You, both of you knew. All of you knew. You knew that Batman was training a new Robin and that he's a fucking child, and you didn't tell me. You didn't tell me, and you let it happen. Can't imagine why we wouldn't tell you with you reacting like this, Hood says. Not helping, Nightwing hisses. Theo, was this fun for all of you? Theo asks, looking back and forth between them. There are tears, hot and angry and painful, prickling at his eyes. Did you have a nice time laughing about how much it was going to kill me that there's another kid in danger and I can't do jack shit about it? Is it entertaining to watch me twist myself into knots trying to be friends with you when the collateral damage from your vendettas wind up in my office? Theo, Nightwing says, shocked and hurt and upset. Nightwing, Theo responds. Because that's all I get to say, right? I don't know your real name. I don't know any of your real names. And I just... Shit, this wasn't supposed to be a guilt trip thing. I swear it wasn't. I'm here, Robin 3 says, sliding through the window in a hurry. He's the Robin, Theo knows, and he's in one piece, and relief is a physical thing that hits Theo full in the chest. I meant to talk to you before the new Robin went out, Theo, I swear, but tonight was such a good night for it, with everything so quiet and... Oof! Theo holds Robin 3 in a hug for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 breaths, then lets him go. I am so, so glad you're not dead. And I am so, so mad at you. Robin's whiteouts are activated, but Theo can read the regret on his face. We weren't keeping it from you on purpose, not really. It's just that you're really sensitive about stuff like this. Stuff like child endangerment? Theo lets out a hard breath. Yeah, I'm a real stickler when it comes to that. You have to meet him, Robin 3 says. The new Robin, you'll understand if you meet him. The 10-year-old you sent out to get shot at? Theo demands. You think me meeting him is going to fix this? It can't hurt, Robin says. It absolutely can, Theo says. That little shit is excellent with a sword. Nightwing says, Hood, I swear to God. We're not sending him out on nights when there's anything actually dangerous going on, Robin says. He's patrol only, no engaging, and he's never out by himself. We're going to share the mantle for a while until I figure out what I want to do next. And honestly, it'll be nice to have help because my schoolwork is really piling up. Theo says, I don't think I can be friends with you guys anymore. So, new Robin leaving tied up henchmen on the fire escape? Jason says, leaning against the doorframe to Theo's room. Normal occurrence? Something I should just get used to? It feels like this should have been disclosed on the renter's application, to be honest. Theo contemplates staying in bed. He'd been ensconced in a blanket burrito, watching Stranger Things for the last 2 hours. There's really nothing to prevent him from staying put. But Jason's only lived here for a week, and the new Robin needs a support system. Theo's ethics be damned. So he rolls himself to the floor and diligently shuffles to the window. Again? You remain unconvinced of my excellence, Robin Four says, tying a complicated knot between an unconscious goon's wrists before straightening up to survey his work with a satisfied air. What better way to demonstrate my skills than with a practical application? I don't need any examples, Robin, Theo says. Or demonstrations, or exhibitions, or however else you're going to try to sell me on this. You have got to stop. I have informed Batman that you will not be impressed by a simple display of superiority over small-time henchmen, Robin says, glowering at the rooftop across the street. Batman is backlit by the moon over there, and his cowl casts a long, distinctive shadow. I will reiterate my desire to engage with more formidable foes, and then no, Theo says forcefully. Going by the wince on Robin's face, it's echoed in his ear by Batman. But how will you come to accept my rightful place as Robin if I won't? Theo says. He raises his voice, knowing that Robin's comm unit will pick it up and broadcast his words back to everyone listening. I won't, Robin, and it has nothing to do with how skilled you are or how brave. It has very little to do with you at all, honestly. I do not understand, Robin says. I know, and that's not your fault. Your adults have given you unrealistic expectations about what your responsibilities are. That's on them, not you. But I want to be Robin. Sometimes what we want isn't what's good for us. You're supposed to be able to rely on your grown-ups to know the difference. And if your grown-ups fail at that, someone like me is supposed to step in. I'm sorry that it took me so long to find you. Robin narrows his eyes behind the domino. You take accountability for something you had no feasible control over. I have been far beyond the reach of Gotham's social services for the majority of my life. Like I said, Theo says with a tired smile, it's really not about you at all. It's about the other Robins, and Kid Flash, and Wonder Girl, and every other kid whose adult put them in a mask and made them believe that getting killed was worth it if they saved someone else in the process. It's about the ones I couldn't help, and me not being able to act like I'm okay with this anymore. Robin frowns and shifts his weight. For someone with his degree of body awareness, it might as well be a blaring siren of discomfort. My arrival caused a rift between you and the others. Nightwing, Robin, Red Hood, Spoiler. They all say that you've refused to speak with them since my debut. I feel I should apologize for that. If this were any other kid, Theo would crouch to get on his level. This kid would find it condescending, though, and Batman sees fit to equip this kid, this child, with a fucking katana. So Theo stays standing. It's not your fault. None of it is your fault. You're caught in the middle, and I'm sorry for how unfair that must seem. If you no longer consider yourself our ally, Robin says slowly, does that make you our enemy? You have intimate knowledge of our movements, alliances, and safe houses. I'd never do anything to put you at risk, Theo says, raising his voice a little more. Which is really the only reason I'm not trying to take you into protective custody or arrest Batman or any of the rest. We only barely got away with listing Nightwing and Hood as Tim's guardians. If anyone had looked more closely, it would have fallen apart. And people are looking more closely now. I can't guarantee that your identity wouldn't be compromised if I tried to bring you in. I am more than capable of defending myself, should my civilian name be linked to Robin. You inherited a lot of enemies when you put on that cape, Theo says. And if I knew your real name, how hard would it really be to figure out who the rest of them are? You might think you're prepared for anyone who comes after you, but what about your family? My family? Robin asks, eyes darting across the street to Batman's looming figure. Theo sighs. He doesn't want to play this hand, doesn't want to string this theory out any further, doesn't want to risk toppling the house of cards he'd been constructing this whole year. Your brothers, Theo says, closing his eyes. Your dad. I know that's who they are to you, Robin, and the way you're all tied up in each other's lives. If I knew your name, any one of your names, I'd know the rest. And I'm not the only one who'd figure it out. You're a family, and that makes you strong, but it also makes you each other's weaknesses. I am not weak, Robin hisses, indignant. That's not what I meant, Theo says. Robin, wait, Robin! Robin's gone, over the side of the building in a heartbeat. Batman's shadow lingers for a heartbeat longer, and then it's just Theo, standing on a fire escape, staring out at the Gotham skyline. God damn it, he says to the night sky. Yeah, says Jason, lurking just inside Theo's bedroom window. That did not seem like it went well. Eavesdropping is rude. Secret conversations are fucking rude. And historically speaking, I don't handle it well when I'm left out of the loop. Gonna be honest with you here, Jay. At this exact moment, I could really not give less of a shit about your feelings. Letting Jason move in was a gut impulse thing, a decision made hastily in the wake of Theo burning his bridges with the bats et al. After Robin Four's introduction. Theo cut ties with the majority of his social circle in the span of a few hours, and when Jason called asking for another shot at the vacant bedroom, Theo'd caved. He's a decent roommate, all things considered. He's not around very much. Theo's assumption is that he spends most of his time at Wayne Manor or visiting Dick in Bloodhaven. But he's clean and a good cook and full of witty stories about the absurdity Gotham's wealthy get up to when he's present. He also seems to, like, care about Theo in a way that Theo's pretty sure isn't warranted, given that they barely know one another. He's forever asking if Theo's okay or if he's talked to Max yet. He hasn't. They haven't spoken since Robin 4. Max is inextricably linked to Red Hood, and Red Hood is part of the problem, and Theo just can't. Max seems to feel the same way. If they talk, they probably have to end things, and so they're just not talking. It's the Schrodinger's cat of relationships. It's been 2 weeks. Theo hates it. My feelings and I will survive somehow, Jason says. Want me to call the GCPD for the goon pickup? I'll handle it, Theo says, already thumbing out the text to Jim Gordon. It's the third one this week. Gordon knows what to expect. Jason watches him type for a second, then says, You could cut them a break, you know. The Robin's dumb and dumber, Nightwing. Your problem is with Batman, not them. Hey, Jason. Yeah? Fuck off. Yeah, Jason sighs, heaving himself off the windowsill. He hesitates at the door. You're still going to Hood's sword fighting thing this weekend, though, right? Theo stares at him. How did you know about that? The whole city knows about it. Jason's not wrong. The prize for best float in Red Hood's pride parade, a sword fighting class led by Red Hood himself, has somehow morphed into a massive all-day event at Robinson Park. It's basically going to be a mini Renaissance fair at this point, doubling as a general fall festival. It's gotten so big that GCPD is shutting down the streets around the park to prevent pedestrian versus car incidents. "Yeah, I'll be there," Theo says. "There's a booth for the CPS office, and a bunch of my kids got free admission to the class because they finished Red Hood's scavenger hunt. Are you going?" "No, I have a thing," Jason says, scrubbing a hand across his face. "It's good that you are, though. There's a chance, then."
"A chance for what?"
"What?"
"Jason."
"Theo." Jason trips his way through the open window, getting caught up in his blanket burrito. "Whatever you're planning, don't. Don't get involved. You don't want to be involved."
"I've never been involved in anything in my life," Jason says.
"Jason."
"We're fighting for true fucking love here, Theo," Jason says. "Max has been absolutely pathetic since you stopped talking to them."
Theo pretends that the casual mention of Max isn't ripping his heart out, as one does.
"You don't know Max. You have spent, like, 2 hours total in Max's company."
"Sure, why not?" Jason says. "Sometimes it's really hard to tell if you actually don't know, you know?"
"I don't know," Theo says. "I have no idea what you're talking about. Most of the time, in fact. It's a chronic condition with you.
You try spending 6 months 6 feet under. See if you make sense all the time."
"What?"
Jason flings his hands into the air.
"You're exhausting and probably in need of a mental health consult. Do you see a therapist?"
"Dr. Harlene Quinzel is in my book club."
"That is not the same thing at all," Jason sighs.
"And one, two, block, block, low sweep,"
Hood calls. There's a 4-year-old wearing his helmet and riding his shoulders. Said 4-year-old leans forward and makes grabby hands at Red Hood's microphone. Hood, undeterred, continues cueing instructions for his class of 200-some amateur sword fighters.
"Good. Maya, keep more of your weight on your front. Let's reset and go again."
Maya Reyes, the daughter of Gotham's mayor and honorary member of the Girl Scout troop that operates out of one of the shelters under Theo's purview, salutes and lifts her padded, wooden sword again with a look of intense focus. Between the sword, her expression, and the somewhat bedraggled princess gown she's wearing, she could be a character out of a comic book. That's the story of the whole day, really. People showed up for this in droves and in costume. Theo's seen dragons and knights and wizards and pirates and a group of young Star Trek cosplayers acting like they've somehow warped into the wrong timeline. It's a crisp, clear day in mid-October. It's the best day Gotham can remember in ages. There's talk of making this an annual occurrence. Theo is miserable.
"That's a long face," Dick Grayson says, sidling up to where Theo's standing on the raised platform at the side of the field, watching the sword fighters.
"Want to talk about it?" Max is out there in the field somewhere, one of a dozen teaching assistants Hood drafted for this. Every flash of blonde hair makes Theo's stomach turn.
"Not really, no."
"You did a good thing here, Theo. This type of community building does more for Gotham than you realize."
"This wasn't me. It was Hood's idea."
Hood's idea was A, a half-drunk proposal that he didn't expect to lead anywhere, and B, 5 people in a safe house for an hour. You were the person who made the rest of this happen.
"Gotham's resilient. I just paved the way."
Across the park, he sees Tim and Bernard sharing a slushie. Steph and Cass went to check out the obstacle course. Sophia and Samish are staffing the CPS booth. And Nadia and Michelle are on their way back from assisting on an out-of-town case. Damien and Bruce are paired up for the sword fighting, alongside Maya and the Girl Scouts. There's not a mask in sight besides Hood. Theo's people are accounted for. It's a good day. Why can't Theo relax?
You should give yourself more credit, Dick says. Yeah, Theo says. Yeah, maybe. Do you feel that?
Feel what?
Theo spins slowly on the spot. I don't know. There's something. You really don't feel that?
Dick laughs, hollow, as his hand strays towards where Theo knows he's carrying his service weapon, despite being off duty.
You're making me nervous, Theo.
Something's wrong, Theo says. I don't know what, but there's something.
Theo! Ivy shrieks, bursting out of the trees. A vine swings her to the ground, depositing her at a stumble run a few paces off. Dick reaches out to steady her.
Theo, he's coming.
Who? Theo demands. There are people looking, alarmed by Ivy's pitch and sudden appearance. He can feel Hood's eyes on him like a million pounds of lead.
Who's coming?
Harley called, Ivy says, wringing her hands. She was watching the feed from his cell at Arkham, but there was a blip, and when Oracle went to verify the footage, ice settles into Theo's stomach, hard and unyielding.
The Joker, he's out.
Dick swears, low and out of character. Ivy nods, near tears.
We don't know how, but he's on his way here, and he's not alone. He knows everyone is here, Theo.
Everything all right? Bruce asks mildly, approaching at a jog. Damien, Tim, Bernard, Steph, and Cass all trail after him in short order and clamber onto the platform. Hood lets the kid on his shoulders down and stops giving instructions to the crowd, most of whom are looking towards the platform expectantly. There's a camera on them, sending a live feed of the platform to the massive projection screen behind them. It's how Hood was demonstrating moves with the sword.
Couldn't help but notice the disturbance.
We need to evacuate, Theo says, mind rushing through scenarios. I need Commissioner Gordon. Someone find Jim Gordon. Fuck, there are children. How do we...
Hey, Max says firmly, appearing at Theo's elbow. They circle around to Theo's front and grip his upper arms.
What's going on?
Joker's inbound, Theo says.
Ivy, how long until...
10 minutes, if that, Ivy says, holding a phone to her ear and wrapping the vine around her wrist as it tows her away.
I'm going to get the trees ready. Send civilians through to the clearing. You know the one.
Maya!
Theo bellows. Their little huddle is drawing more attention now, and the ambient noise level is rising. But that works in his favor.
Maya heads for him at a run, and people move out of the way to let her pass. Take the troop and any other kid who'll go with you and follow the paths Ivy leaves for you. No questions, Maya. I mean it. We don't have time. Go. Now, Maya. Go, go, go.
Maya scampers without hesitation. Smart girl. Theo's not as smart as Maya. Theo is surrounded by a circle of people staring at him. All of his people accounted for. All of his people in harm's way.
Run.
He says, flipping his wrists to grab the underside of Max's arms and looking around at all the familiar faces.
All of you, please, you have to get out of here.
You think I'm leaving you?
Max asks, incredulous.
Not gonna happen, Tim says.
Cass makes her signs for no, stay, and help.
Fat chance,
Bernard chimes in. His voice shakes, but his hand is steady in Tim's grasp.
You fucking run, Hood says, guns drawn. I have a score to settle.
Otherwise known as a craptastic revenge scheme that'll get you killed,
Steph says, sounding like she's quoting something. But who am I to judge?
The show of loyalty is very sweet and incredibly misguided, Theo says. None of you besides Hood and Max and maybe Dick are prepared for
what we need, Bruce Wayne interrupts, voice level, is a distraction.
A distraction from the mass murdering clown headed our way?
Theo asks, shrill.
We need Batman, Bruce says, and Nightwing, and Robin, and Robin, and Spoiler, and Batgirl. They need to be here, Theo. But they can't get here with half the city watching us.
He inclines his head to the projection screen.
Bruce?
He knows, Bruce says. He's known for a long time, haven't you, Theo?
Someone want to explain what's happening? Bernard says.
I'm so sorry, Tim says, turning to him. I wanted to tell you differently.
Tell me what? Bernard says. Tim, you wanted to tell me what differently?
Theo, Bruce says. I'm not sure he actually knows, B, Hood says, casual and familiar with someone he has no business being casual and familiar with. He's real cagey about it.
He knows, Max says, looking deep into Theo's eyes. You know, Theo, I don't think you want to, and I'm sorry about that, but you know.
This is a waste of valuable time, Damien interjects. We must act.
Theo, Bruce repeats, give me the destruction I need to save the city, and I swear on my parents' graves that I will sit through your PowerPoint about Batman's failures without a word of protest, even though I could make logical and well-supported counter-arguments to every one of your points.
Theo blinks at him.
How do you know about my Batman PowerPoint?
Shit, Hood says. Did you actually not know?
The graph on slide 12 is particularly compelling, but I think you'll find the Robin in question wouldn't agree with your conclusion, Bruce says.
Slide 12, Theo says. Slide, you've seen it. Have you? Tim!
In my defense, Tim says, you were keeping it on your work tablet, and technically it was my job to know about things on your work tablet this summer. Also, it made for a hilarious family dinner. Alfred wants to know if he can add slides to the appendix. He has info on Batman's early days that will make you lose your mind.
Holy shit, Theo says, looking at Bruce. You're Batman.
There it is, Steph says, giving Theo a slow clap. Knew you'd get there eventually.
I knew it, Bernard breathes. Okay, I didn't know it, but...
You knew nothing, Drake's boyfriend, Damien snaps.
His name is Bernard, Tim says. We are not having this conversation again, Damien.
Bickering later, prevent a mass casualty event now?
Max offers. Just a suggestion. I'm not one of this group's multiple master tacticians or anything.
Theo, Dick says, halfway to pleading.
A distraction, please.
He's standing almost shoulder to shoulder with Hood, but angled in a way that will allow them to watch each other's backs.
Hood's high-strung at the moment, has some sort of history with the Joker that Theo doesn't fully understand, and even on a good day, Hood's twitchy about who he lets in his space. But Hood and Grayson don't know each other, and the only people Theo's seen Hood trust like this are...
Jesus, I'm dense, Theo says. You're Nightwing.
Process of elimination is a beautiful thing, Dick says, flashing him a smile. If I'm not the second Robin, and I'm not Red Robin,
or Superman, Bernard says.
Really?
Dick asks, a little stunned. You guys thought I was Superman? For like 5 minutes before actual Superman showed up at Wayne Manor during the charity gala, Theo explains. Black hair, blue eyes. It is a thing with you people. Hey, Max, will you marry me?
Yes, Max says.
Wait, what?
Theo surges forward, snags the megaphone out of Red Hood's hand, and starts talking.
I've been in love with you since that first sandwich,
he says, wincing as his voice echoes around the park. It has the intended effect, though. Heads snap towards their direction as far as the eye can see. No one seems to notice Bruce Wayne and his gaggle of children and bonus children slinking away into the trees.
You listened to silly details about what I liked, and you remembered them. You're always doing that, listening to me and remembering.
Theo, Max says, eyes big. Oh my God, says Bernard, who apparently doesn't have an alter ego. Small mercies. Is this really happening? This is so romantic. Oh my god.
You haven't offered to kill anyone for me in months,
Theo continues. Okay, less romantic than I thought, Bernard amends. Can you try to be more universally relatable here, guys? I want to live vicariously through this grand gesture. Hood, already combat ready and therefore not making a hasty exit to change, adds, also, there are multiple members of GCPD watching. And if you get my best lieutenant arrested on alleged murder charges right before I need them to help me actually murder the clown, I'm gonna be pissed. Theo ignores them and ignores the excited whispers of the crowd that's packing in tight around them.
You put trackers in my shoes and the buttons of my shirts.
Classic stalker behavior, Hood comments. You should file a restraining order, Theo. I know a lawyer who can help. Max turns their head to Theo and says sweetly, keep talking shit while I'm getting proposed to, and I will kill you before the Joker even gets here. Is there normally this much talk of murder during a proposal? Bernard asks. I feel like this is a disproportionate amount of murder talk for a proposal.
Max,
Theo says.
Max, can you look at me?
When Max stops glaring at Hood long enough to turn back to Theo, all the blood drops out of their face. It's probably because Theo's down on one knee.
I love you,
Theo says, discarding the megaphone. Our lives in Gotham are insane, and I don't think that's ever going to change, but you make me feel steady and seen and supported no matter what. I'm so lucky to have met you and... Okay, so confession time, Max says. It was not exactly luck. Don't tell him now, Hood groans. Max, don't. I'm the one who submitted the tip to CPS about Tim's parents abandoning him, Max admits. I'd seen you around a couple of times and you were really cute, and you were always the one your boss sent to do random welfare checks. And in all fairness, Hood, back then Aldona and me were really not sure if you were capable of keeping the kid alive.
Rude,
Hood says. Fucking rude. I'm great with kids. So I called in about Tim and hoped you would show up to investigate, Max finishes. You orchestrated a meet-cute for us, centered around a genuine concern for a child's safety? Theo asks. I'm sorry, Max says. I know the timing is awful. I know I should have told you a long time ago, but if this is real, if this isn't just for the distraction, you need to know. Theo pulls out the ring he's been carrying in his pocket for more than a month. The crowd, watching but unable to hear without the megaphone, gasps. Bernard does too. Marry me? Courthouse ceremony next summer, Max says, letting Theo slide the ring onto their finger. Just us and a couple witnesses. Big block party afterwards.
Queer mafia barbecue!
Bernard cheers. And I'm not moving into your apartment, Max says. I refuse to live with my boss.
Your boss, Theo says. Your fucking you?
He demands, looking at Hood. Hood, who is apparently Jason Todd. Jason Todd, who is Dick Grayson's younger brother. And if Bruce Wayne is Batman and Dick Grayson was the first Robin, then...
Robin 2 died,
Theo says slowly as Max tugs him to his feet.
He did, Hood confirms. And the fucker who put me in the ground?
He points across the field to where the Joker's cresting a distant hill, backed by a couple dozen goons.
This has been a long time coming.
Bystanders follow Hood's outstretched arm. Screaming starts. Maya Reyes darts between people's knees, snatches up the discarded megaphone, and starts yelling for people to follow her into the trees. Commissioner Gordon extracts the megaphone from her tiny hands and takes over corralling civilians in a calmer, deeper tone.
We don't kill, Hood,
Batman says, materializing out of the trees, and flanked by Nightwing, both Robins.
Holy shit, that's Tim and Damian!
And Spoiler and Batgirl, Steph and Cass. But Theo did pretty much already know both of those.
What's this wee shit? Hood asks.
It's one of Batman's 10 pre-programmed phrases, Nightwing says, along with,
I am vengeance, and I'll do whatever it takes to save this city.
Isn't that last one Green Arrow? Robin 3 wonders. Who can really tell all the billionaire vigilantes apart? I mean, honestly, Spoiler says. Implying that Green Arrow is also a billionaire in his private life, Bernard says, whipping out his phone. Interesting. Bernard, please go with Maya now, Robin 3 says. I will render you unconscious and carry you there myself if you do not comply, Robin 4 adds. Robin, Robin 3 protests. Robin, Robin 4 retorts. This civilian is critical to your happiness. I will not allow him to come to harm. That is weirdly sweet, Bernard says. Okay, cool. Into the woods it is. Any point in asking you to get somewhere safe too? Max asks. There are kids here, Max, Theo says, standing while Batgirl pokes a comm unit into his ear and Hood drops a bulletproof vest, freed from a GCPD stockpile Gordon keeps on hand at big events, over his head. I'm not going anywhere.
That seems to be the theme, yes, Batman muses, and everyone pauses in their preparations to look at what Batman's looking at.
Across the field, as far as the eye can see, Gothamites are getting ready to fight. A good number of them are fleeing for Ivy's protection or scattering into the streets, sure, but at least half are picking up anything at hand and turning to face the Joker's angle of approach. Hood's sword-fighting trainees have discarded the padding from their wooden swords and are howling battle cries. Food vendors are wielding pans like weapons. Someone's dipping the blunt-tipped arrows from the archery exhibition in hot oil from said food vendor's abandoned carts and launching them, ignited, haphazardly towards the enemy. One of the Star Trek cosplayers turns out to have a very real ray gun of some kind and is laying down cover fire in the form of wickedly bright beams of light. A car screeches through the police barricade on the street next to the park. Nadia slides out from behind the steering wheel, straps something to her back, and makes for the platform. Michelle emerges from the passenger door and takes off for the Joker at a dead run, while swinging something golden and glowing overhead.
Is that Wonder Woman's lasso? Nightwing asks. How did Michelle get...
Now is really not the time for stupid questions, Nadia snaps, skidding to a stop next to them and unhooking the nozzle of her.
Who the hell gave you a flamethrower?
Theo demands.
I started keeping it in my back seat a few months ago,
Nadia says. She lets out a little burst of blue-rimmed flame. Nearby civilians whoop in appreciation.
I think I finally understand this godforsaken city.
I think I love you, Nightwing responds.
Yeah, well, get in line, Nadia says, flipping her hair over her shoulder. Batman, what's the plan?
Batman doesn't miss a beat. Robin 3 and Spoiler, take command of the amateur archers and prevent friendly fire. Nightwing, get our ray gun friend somewhere strategic and see if you can marshal the fighting civilians into squads. Robin 4 and Batgirl, crowd control. Hood, I assume your people will take care of themselves.
And then some, Hood agrees, rolling out his shoulders. We got any backup in Bando?
The Justice League, the Titans, and the Outlaws are responding, Oracle reports in everyone's ears.
Yikes, overkill, Spoiler says. Must be a slow day for crime everywhere else, Nightwing comments.
Robin 3 frowns. The Outsiders aren't coming?
Oracle says, the Outsiders said, and I quote, this is our union-mandated day off.
A mix of accusing, exasperated, and fond faces turn to Theo.
Are you pleased with yourself? Batman asks. Your actions may have jeopardized the safety of the city.
Okay, one, Theo says. If all of you people plus the JL plus the Titans plus the Outlaws can't handle the Joker and a couple dozen shithead henchmen, you have way bigger problems than me. And two, yeah, while you were in outer space for most of the year, I helped organize a couple unions to protect people who've been getting exploited.
Actions have consequences, you colossal asshole. You and I are going to have a conversation when all of this is done.
Robin 4 raises a hand. I do not wish to converse. I wish for glory in battle.
Tough shits, Shortstack, Theo says. I am going to figure out a way to ground you until you're 18, if it takes literally until you are 18.
This is unjust treatment, Robin 4 says. My predecessors,
your predecessors, are each going to have their own very long, very painful conversation with me, Theo says, about mutual trust and the importance of telling the truth and, well, shit.
What? Max asks, worried, looking around. What is it?
No, nothing. It's just that I realize how comforting it is that the number of people I know who are both wildly competent and also lie to me on a regular basis just got cut in half.
I feel like I missed something important, Nadia says. Max and Theo got engaged,
Robin 3 offers.
Bingo! Nadia shouts, fumbling her much crumpled bingo sheet out of her pocket. Hud, look, look!
Theo's phone rings. Oracle intercepts the line and connects the call for everyone,
and also streams the video feed to the big projection screen. The Joker is face down on the ground, wrists bound to his ankles behind his back with Wonder Woman's lasso. Mayor Elena Reyes has one high heel placed on the side of his skull and is using it to grind his face into the mud. The long tail of the lasso trails towards the camera, which shakes and rotates until Michelle's face comes into frame.
How many limbs do I have to leave him with?
Michelle asks. She's sweating, grinning, and there's mud splattered all up her golden rope-holding arm when she wipes her face.
Asking for a friend.
We missed it! Nightwing semi-shouts, despondent.
I never get to have any fun.
Hood sulks.
I mean, I did give a warning about our priorities like 5 minutes ago. Max points out.
But does anybody listen to Max?
I listen to you, Theo says earnestly.
You are so full of shit,
Max says happily.
I can't wait to marry you.
Cass signs. Flower? Girl? Question?
And by the time I got back to the Batcave, Robin's ankle monitor was around Alfred's neck.
Batman finishes, sounding resigned.
Oh my god, is Alfred okay?
Theo asks, pinning his phone between his shoulder and his ear to free up a hand so he can pull open the CPS office door.
What? Of course he's... Oh, Alfred the cat, not Alfred the human.
Why? Theo says.
Why would you name the cat?
I didn't name the cat, Batman says. And human Alfred is very flattered. And Robin keeps insisting that anyone foolish enough to be confused despite context clues isn't worthy of knowing either, Alfred, so leave it alone.
Your family gives me migraines, Theo says.
Batman says, same.
Theo, hi, Nadia says, almost bowling Theo over on her rush out the door. There's a kid waiting at your desk.
When isn't there a kid waiting at my desk? Theo sighs.
Thanks, Nadia. B, I'll call you back later. I have 16 more ideas to try before we have to call in the big guns.
I'm concerned who you consider the big guns,
Batman says, and promptly hangs up, because the guy has no sense of manners when he's not pretending to be Bruce Wayne. Theo glares at his phone, and then tucks it away, trying to get his head on straight for whatever this new kid needs. Michelle ended the Joker's attack last week quickly enough that there hasn't been much fallout funneling through their office, but anything even vaguely Joker-related tends to be brutal to navigate. He takes a second to brace himself at the end of the hall and assess what he's walking into. The kid at his desk is staring at his hands and not responding to Samish's completely unsubtle offerings of snacks. He's 15 or 16, black and wearing a yellow hoodie tugged up over his head.
Hey, Theo says, carefully not commenting or reacting in any way when the kid flinches at the sudden noise.
It pulls his face up into the light, out of the shadow of his hoodie,
and Theo recognizes him.
Oh, hi. You were one of the Star Trek cosplayers at the park that day. The one with the ray gun.
Not a ray gun, the kid mumbles, looking down at his hands again.
Okay, Theo says easily. I'm Theo.
I know who you are, the kid says,
then abruptly shoves up out of his seat, sending it spinning behind him.
I'm sorry. This is a mistake. I'm gonna go.
You can leave if you want, Theo says, catching the chair and rolling it back to the desk. It wakes up his monitor when it bumps home.
Or you could talk to me. It doesn't have to be official or a big deal. We don't have to make any decisions. We can just talk.
The kid is staring at Theo's monitor. It reverts back to Steph's original Microsoft Paint picture, the one of Batman getting pooped on by man-bats whenever Theo changes it. So he accepted his fate a while ago.
You really know them, Batman and everyone?
I do.
And you help them, not just helping the people they help, but the Robins and Spoiler and all of them. You've helped them with their situations?
I don't talk about my case as much, Theo says. But if I've got a specialty, yeah, you could say it's working with young vigilantes. I've got some experience with their unique circumstances.
Okay, the kid says, pacing in a tight circle.
Okay, okay, okay. Theo asks, can we start with your name?
I wasn't going to come in, the kid says, all in a rush. Nightwing said I could trust you, and people talk about you in the alley and the narrows, and they say you're a good guy, that your whole team...
He pauses here, swings his arm in a big circle to encompass Theo's desk clump and Michelle's office. Samish takes the opportunity to push a napkin bearing a piece of halva within the kid's reach.
Is made up of good people, but kids who look like me fall through the cracks in the system all the time, and that can't happen to me. I have responsibilities.
He holds eye contact with Theo for the first time, determination written across every inch of his face.
Do you understand? I have responsibilities.
I think I might, Theo says slowly. What's your name, kid? He slumps against Theo's desk, crams the halva in his mouth, and says,
my name is Duke Thomas, and I think I really, really need your help.
Theo says, that's what I'm here for, and gets to work. The end. Let me make myself clear, you appear to be a struggle to take.
If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!